This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Things like K-12 tuition, books, and lab fees. There's also a credit for teachers spending their own money on classroom supplies. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website anytime, nowdecatur.com.
Will Donald Trump get what he wants in court? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. There's a hearing today in Florida before the same judge who approved the search warrant for the FBI raid on the Trump Mar-a-Lago home. The former president calls a continuation of the witch hunt. He now wants the affidavit that led to the warrant made public. The Justice Department does not.
While the attorney general said the search warrant and receipt of property taken could be released, and it was, DOJ's argued against releasing the affidavit, saying it would provide a roadmap in their ongoing criminal investigation and might compromise sensitive information and even witnesses. The receipt of items agents took highlight what DOJ says were 11 sets of classified documents, including some that were labeled top secret.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Also today, a Trump Organization chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, will plead guilty to tax evasion in New York City the day after Rudy Giuliani testified in Georgia in a probe into his work as a Trump lawyer.
Rudy Giuliani says he faced hours of testimony with a special grand jury in Atlanta as part of an investigation into former President Donald Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election results in the Peach State, saying he's, quote, satisfied his obligation. Giuliani and his lawyers didn't give any details about the questions or what he told the grand jury.
That's Fox's Ryan Schmelz. A bombing in Afghanistan's capital. It hit a mosque during evening prayers, killing at least 21 people, including a prominent clinic. ISIS has ramped up attacks in Afghanistan after the Taliban took over the country. In China, a rainstorm led to a landslide that diverted a river, causing flooding that killed 16 people. 18 more are missing. In New Zealand, a shock for a family that bought a storage unit at auction. Two suitcases they found inside contained the bodies of two young children.
The investigation team are working very hard to hold accountable the person or persons responsible for the deaths of these children.
Police say it appears the kids were age range from 5 to 10 and they may have been dead for years. America's listening to Fox News.
From the very beginning, and every workday since, at every shift, and every individual effort, we carry a common purpose, a common cause. It's a duty we proudly honor, knowing behind every product we build is your faith in us. Dedicated to the craft of gun making. Dedicated to your freedom, the quality, security, and the promise of this great country. Smith & Wesson, empowering Americans. Learn more at smith-wesson.com.
With each mortgage-free home, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation delivers on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's heroes. These heroes need your help. That's Gold Star and Fallen First Responder families with young children, our nation's most catastrophically injured first responders and veterans, and even our homeless service members. Help these heroes now. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
They're in mourning in Miami-Dade, Florida. The police officer shot Monday night. Cesar Echeverry has died. He was shot in the head during a chase of a robbery suspect who had gotten into a car crash, then got into a shootout that left him dead at the scene. A killer was killed last night, mouthing the words, "I love you, Mom," as she watched his execution.
Strapped to a gurney, Kasul Chantakuman breathed four times, gasped, and then fell still in the Texas death chamber, pronounced dead 15 minutes after he was given a lethal dose of pentobarbital for the 2006 murder of real estate agent Sarah Walker, who was stabbed to death in a McKinney, Texas model home. Chantakuman used his final words to thank Jesus, the prison ministers, and the people in his life who had aided him in his journey. He also said he prayed his death would bring peace to the victim's family. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
North Carolina's abortion ban after 20 weeks of pregnancy is back in place. A judge lifted a years-old injunction following the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that led states to ban or restrict abortions, but South Carolina's ban is now on hold.
The South Carolina Supreme Court temporarily blocks the state's fetal heartbeat law, banning abortion at 6 weeks of pregnancy, making the procedure legal once again from 20 weeks of pregnancy. The law, previously blocked by federal courts, taking effect after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Planned Parenthood South Atlantic suing, arguing it violates the state constitution's privacy protections and interferes with a person's private medical decision. The injunction comes as the South Carolina Senate debates another abortion bill and after the state's House Judiciary Committee approved a near total ban with no exceptions for rape or incest. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stocks could rebound from yesterday's selling. Futures are higher. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Millikan University is looking for the next generation of courageous, confident students and is now accepting applications for the fall 2023 semester. The application is free and early applicants have the most scholarship opportunities. The university's prestigious majors and programs, thriving campus life, winning athletic programs, and competitive financial aid packages mean Millikan is in high demand. Visit millikan.edu/apply to learn more about the application process. You're right on time to make it Millikan.
Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast. Beautiful one today.
That's right. Today is going to be nice and sunny with a high of 82, and tonight mostly clear, low around 63. For Friday, mostly sunny, high of 84, and Saturday, showers likely, possible thunderstorms after 1 p.m., partly sunny, and a high near 84. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 61 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06.
Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. It is action-packed. City Hall insider Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, will be with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper at the bottom of the hour, and there are folks from Richland celebrating 50 years. Tell you all about it next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a beautiful, just gorgeous Thursday morning. The view looks fantastic. Other than the birds are being a little weird the last couple of days. Paul, you've had this view a little longer than us.
Yeah.
Is there a time of year where the birds get weird? I just noticed the last couple of days they're getting like really close to the windows.
Yeah, it's usually during an election year.
I get it. Yeah. All right. So they're impacted like all the rest of us. You know, Nick and I were discussing right before the top of the hour break about self-silencing. This is a term that a group put together a study, you know, says that people in general are more moderate in their private opinions than they are publicly, and sort of the group mentality and how the algorithms of social media is all that, you know, it's an interesting study to me because it helps me to understand why the polls are so wrong these days about things, right? People tell you what they think you want to hear that doesn't necessarily reflect their private views. And if you look at the social media storm, whether it's left or right, you know, your takeaway is that's what everybody is. But there's a big chunk, you know, in the middle that don't want to argue and fight with people. And so they either don't really tell you their true feelings publicly, or they tell you something different publicly than what they really believe in their heart. That resonates as true to me when talking about the American electorate today.
Yeah. I would totally agree with that. And, people are kind of conditioned to say, you know, I don't want any blowback from what I say or anything. I'm going to say what I think might be appropriate when you ask.
Right. And it doesn't mean that it's groupthink mentality, because you don't really think it. You're just sort of to get along, you know, because we're all one big episode of Lord of the Flies. You know, no matter where we are in that scenario, there is that thing where you go, well, I don't want to get, you know, bunch of hateful comments, or I don't want to argue with Leroy down the street. I just want to, yeah, whatever. And then here's what I privately believe. And then that's what you take to the polling place with you.
Yeah. And I think that's true. As an editor, I hear from a lot of people, but when you consider how many subscribers and that we have, it's really a tiny minority of people. And those that are really rough in their attitudes, that's even a much, much smaller minority. So, in general, I think we look at people and they want to do the decent thing. They want to sound like I'm not ignorant. You know, yeah. I am tuned in. And sometimes they will even give a moderate response to something they know absolutely nothing about.
Right.
Just to appear not to be stupid.
But here's the problem with that in application. It's one thing, you know, you choose to vote for this candidate or that candidate. A young man who I'd corresponded with when we had this whole Lincoln Park School District controversy going on, you know, he was sort of dismayed that, and he said, I mean, these people are showing up and they're writing, you know, all these people that are, you know, it's 100 people. Let's just say it's five. Let's take it times five. 500, how does 500 people stop a project from happening, you know, in a school district with, you know, more than 8,000 kids in a, you know, in a city with, you know, 70,000, whatever the population number is. And that is kind of always been the problem with politics, right? I mean, a tiny minority of the overall population can stop something dead in its tracks.
Right, yeah, because they're the ones that are making the noise. Everyone else is saying, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't want to respond to that because I get involved in that, where you have the vast majority of people saying, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
And I think in my way, what I resent sometimes is for the tiny minority to suddenly take over and try to override those people we've elected to office to make those decisions.
Because we live in a representative democracy. You know, people talk about this all the time. Here's your choice as citizens. You go and you vote. And there's a dismal amount of people that are actually doing that. But when you do, I'm electing Paul Osborne, or I'm electing Julie Moore Wolf, or I'm electing, you know, Rodney Davis, or who it might be, to represent me in whatever form of government they're serving. And if I don't like the decisions they make, then when they're up for reelection, I do not vote for them. That's how our system works.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to work. And I think at times I read statements from people who oppose something saying, the next thing we need to do, you know, it's just like, what, you taking over? Are you usurping the authority of,
right,
of a city council or a school board? I mean, these are people who are duly elected to represent us. You may not agree with them all the time. You can state your opinion and say, I disagree with you. I think there's a better way. But the bottom line is they're the ones who have the vote. They're the ones who will make the decision as long as they're in office.
Yeah. And it, the media plays a role in this. We have plenty of blame. Our fingerprints are on this, because if you have a and there are certain types of people that I think run for office that really aren't interested in doing. They just like to be the opposition. And what they've figured out is if you've got seven council members and it's a 6-1 vote, one gets as much media attention as the other six.
Yeah.
Because they said no.
Well, usually more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the opposition that's going to get all the attention. And I certainly learned that during the years I was mayor. You'd have one person, you know, speaking out against something, and everyone was interviewing that one person. We want to get your side of the story.
You can go. I've been to focus groups or you know, things where they invite the public to, and there's 100 people there. Two people are mad. Those two people get all of the coverage.
Yeah. And,
it's irresponsible because 98 were in favor of it.
Well, I think you look at the definition of what's news. News is something that's out of the ordinary. Something, unfortunately, you know, it is that one person that's in opposition to something. The other six have made the right vote,
yeah,
probably. You're right. I think that one person, and I see it. I see it on television all the time. On television news, they talk to the same person all the time. Out of a council or out of a school board, because they're going to tell them the opposition story.
Yeah. And I'm not suggesting that the opposition story should be buried. I'm just saying it should be proportionate. If six people felt this way and one person felt this way, that one person's the outlier.
Yeah, and
they don't get 50%. They're only one out of seven.
Well, and I think too that the responsible thing to do, and I think most members of the media realize this, is you're going to talk to the opposition. You also talk to a person that voted for it or approved it or
yeah,
was in favor of it. So you balance that out.
Now, and then here's the fine line difference between the one opposition vote, and you went through this your term and time, and I've seen this time and again for 26 years. There's genuine opposition, which people genuinely feel the need to oppose something. And then there's people that do it because they like the attention. And you have serial opposition. Dan Calkins was a serial oppositioner, a player while serving on the city council because he liked the cameras.
Yeah. And
so it's really hard for me to believe you're outraged every Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to see a doctor and see what your heart rate is, yeah, or something, because you're going to have a heart attack. But it's true. I think when – you know, some people, they love the limelight. And they love the camera.
Bill Faber plays that role. And it doesn't mean that some of his stuff isn't genuine. I'm sure it is. But when you do it over and over and over and over and over, it's harder for me to take seriously.
Well, I think certainly, you know, during the years I was mayor, when I saw issues that were brought up and I saw, you know, a council member talking to someone who was going to agree with him outside the mayor's window before the council meeting, I saw him talking and then the council member would say, hey, is so-and-so here tonight? I'd like to get their opinion. Well, they'd just talk to him outside. Yeah. And a lot of that is staged. A lot of that is acting. A lot of that is prepared in order to make a point.
Manufactured outrage. Yeah, you see it all. Is. Nick, you won't believe this, but there was a time when Paul was mayor and a couple of council members, I'm going to not name any names, but we just talked about one of them, had hand signals they would use, you know, back and forth across the days. So that's true, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I never...
Like the third grade.
I was never able to interpret exactly what all the hand signals meant. I was just making sure of the order of the fingers when they were making their signals and I was talking.
They all added up to vote no. Just had lots of signs for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's comical now. At the time, it's like, what's going on here? And some of the others on council even mentioned it.
Yeah.
Said, you know, are you ready for the hand show tonight?
Yeah. That's just silly. It goes back, you know, even before Paul's time, Representative Bill Mitchell, you know, who was a state rep for years, served on the city council. And one of the most famous conversations he ever had took place off stage when they were getting ready to walk out into the council chambers. And it was then Mayor Anderson, I believe. And I don't even remember what the project was, but Bill said to him on the way out, I just want to tell you, Mayor, this is a great project. It's great for the city. I'm really excited that you landed this, and I'm going to vote against it.
Yeah.
And you just go, why? Because he had a political future he was thinking about, and it wasn't about serving the people. It was about, how do I climb the next rung on the ladder of my political career?
Yeah, and I think if a lot of people had experienced this firsthand and saw the politics, even at a local level, that would they'd probably what? And maybe not so much today because it's so public today, where maybe it was more private.
Yeah, it still goes on today. I mean, you know, we look at I saw former Senator Noland on Tuesday at the Do Something Great Awards, and he emceed. He's on the Community Foundation board, and he looks great, and I'm always, Dwayne just makes me smile. I mean, I don't ever run into him and not smile and want to chat, and you know, we were having a conversation about our elected officials and our representation, and you know, it is such a far cry from the days of him to what we have now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really has been watered down a great deal.
Well, I think since you've been on the air, and certainly since I've had the paper, you know, all those years, we've had some great leaders in the past, and those who would communicate their positions, those who stuck by their positions, those who would be willing to listen, they're willing to come in and talk to you at any time. I think Andy Menar, was very much in that way, and I think I told you, you know, a few years ago, that when he was running for that position, he was told, don't talk to buyers, don't go in. And he said, and he'd already been in. He said, I enjoyed it. And he was always available to talk.
I wish that would spread. Can we get that actually started? All the politicians, you shouldn't talk to me. My life would be way better. The quality of my life would improve a great deal.
Yeah, please.
Now the Eastern Bloc thinks they're power kings, they're kingmakers.
Yeah, and they don't talk to you either, do they?
Dan stormed out of here, I think, last. You know, Dan and I have a hate relationship over the years, and you know, it's look, Dan's going to be Dan. Dan is the scorpion in the frog's fable. I mean, you know, he is just going to be Dan no matter what, and that's okay. People vote for him. You know, but what gets me about the Eastern Bloc folks is that they act like they're rainmakers, but the Democratic Party in Illinois has said to them, you're so unimportant that we're going to let you have this district. We're not going to run opposition. We're going to draw it for you because you can't get anything done.
Well,
and you know, here you go. Take it.
What's that do to those people that
live in this? Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, you know, with Mary Mill or Brad Halbrook I don't understand it. They're there to play national politics. You know, they're there to do this thing. I mean, they just love the attention. And I'm not saying this lightly. They've been doing this a long time. I've known Dan Coggins a long time. A long time. He did this every city council meeting. He's done this every, this is who he is. But that used to be kind of like out on the fringe. Now it is the mainstream of the Republican Party here locally.
I
hear he's getting involved in city council race. You know, he really believes he's a kingmaker. And it's like, I just shake my head and go, I don't know what pill you're taking every morning to have this delusion that you are a backbencher in Springfield in a super minority with zero ability to get anything done.
Well, I think what troubles me is particularly the people in our district, in our area, and at state, and even the federal level who represent us is, you know, it's fine if you want to take a stand. It's fine if you want. But what are you doing for us? What are you bringing back to us? You know, how important is this community or this district in the eyes of those people who make those
decisions?
Congresswoman
Mary Miller is the only member of Congress in the entire state of Illinois that openly brags about not bringing a single earmarked dollar back to her district.
Yeah.
It's not only she didn't do anything, she brags about not doing it.
And where's that money going? It's going to other districts.
Because other districts or other states, because we're still a donor state, which means, you know, for every dollar we send to the federal government, we're getting less than a dollar back.
I think this is going to continue till people just get to the point of saying, hey, we're losing out. You know, we're not getting our fair share. We're giving so much and we're not getting anything back.
But a lot of people do get something back because she will underscore and reinforce their prejudice or their feelings about this or that. I mean, you know, they'd rather her stand up and go own the libs than have a new highway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. I think
it's short-sighted for sure.
Well, and you have to be practical. You have to be practical in this. You know, I appreciate someone taking a stand if that's what they believe. I appreciate the fact they're willing to stand up and say, this is what I believe, and I'm going to stick by this. But it trickles down. You're there not to represent your stand. You're there to represent the people of your district.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing for them? Well, I'm taking this stand for them. No, you're taking a stand for yourself. And you're hoping that's enough. And I think at this point, it's surprising to me, to be honest with you, that the Trump power is still there, considering everything that's happened. And we saw that with Liz Cheney. You know, last time she ran, she got 70% of the vote.
Yeah.
She got beat badly.
By 30% this time, yeah.
And we know why.
Well, of course, because she took a stand that was an honest one and a legit one and didn't tell the people what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, and I think when we're moving along, and both of us have seen a lot of this, a lot of people come and go, and I hope the day is going to come when we stand up and look with realistic eyes as to what do I want this person in Washington to do for me and for my district, and that's not happening right now.
Well, and it's not going to happen as long as any Republican that tries to be bipartisan or work across the aisle to fund projects, which used to be applauded, would say, hey, good for you guys, putting your differences aside to do better for your district or your state or whatever it might be. Now they're just labeled as rhinos by the Republican Party. I mean, what was a virtue is now a sin.
Well, I think we saw that and continue to see that in Rodney Davis. Look at everything that he has brought back to this district. And people are saying, at least in the primary, you know, yeah, fine, thank you. But I'm going with someone who's brought nothing back, mm-hmm. you know, because I appreciate her stand. Mm-hmm. You know,
though he voted with President Trump 92% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it said that doesn't make any difference.
Nope.
Because it's what you're doing for me today.
Yep. Or what you're saying for me today.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. Saying.
Yeah. And I think when you look at that, it's you have to have concern about our future. You know, how far does this go before it's just the Democrats against the Republicans, not filtering down and saying
it's not even that. Here's what I truly believe and why that study we were talking about earlier, I think, is important. I don't even think it's the Democrats versus the Republicans. I think it's the fringe of the Republicans versus the fringe of the Democrats. And everybody in that middle is getting left out.
Yeah, I think to this extent that my politics, I mean, I really haven't changed. I mean, I'm pretty conservative, not far right conservative. But it's pushed me into a much more moderate position.
But if you look at Roddy Davis and Mary Miller, you know, she won the area where no one knew either of them, right? Mm-hmm. He won the area where they knew him. So it wasn't enough to do all this stuff. People in Macon County, he won Macon County by 14 points.
Yeah.
So it's the people who didn't know. You go to Quincy, you go to those areas that didn't have either one. That messaging was enough to push her over the top. So I know it doesn't help him. He's still lost. But I'm heartful that people who actually knew him didn't buy into that.
Yeah. But how many people are there now, you know, statewide in that category? I mean, how many people take the time to really know to know their elected officials? And I think apparently,
well, and how many elected officials take the time to let people get to know them?
Yeah, not many anymore. You know, we found that out this time around.
Yeah, I'm hoping for like honest to God, if we could get a complete slate of just no one showing up, I'll be happy. Personally. I'll do it for you. I'll take one for you, meaning you, the community, because you deserve to know these folks and you deserve tough questions and you deserve honest answers. But man, it is a pain because they'll come in here and they will lie through their teeth, and then you're walking them out and they'll tell you how they really feel. And it is the most frustrating thing you've ever been through in your life.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a different conversation too. I know when I sat down with someone just one-on-one, and you know, like in the Tribune, in my office in the Tribune, you know, there are no recorders on, no cameras there. The conversation is very much different than if I'd been talking to them on the radio.
Yeah.
Or maybe when that microphone was off, you know, on the radio. And that says a lot to me. It's just like, you're not the same person when something is recording what you're saying.
And I'm not going to listen. I will respect people's privacy. I also respect the insight. I mean, I'd rather them do it on the air, but we had one prominent Republican in these studios before the primary who did a very nice interview, enjoyed the interview. As I'm walking him out, he said, Darren Bailey is not only a phony hypocrite, he is an outrageous liar and a despicable human being. That's what he said to me on the way out the door.
So what, did he defend Darren Bailey then while he was on the air?
Of course, they all do this. It's like, it is almost impossible for me to believe that you can rationalize that to yourself.
Well, if he's saying Darren Bailey is a liar, what is that person doing if he's coming on the show?
I mean, he was running for his own office. I mean, it was, you know, but it was, they do that all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think the country is so polarized anymore that they're afraid to offend anybody. You know,
but when you get to a point as a party, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter what, where you're knowingly supporting somebody that you think is a awful human being just for the sake of the party, what does that say about what we're doing in politics today?
Well, it says that you're afraid not to endorse someone because you're going to lose those votes that you need. And I think that's the big difference today in a lot of the politicians that we see. They don't want to offend anyone.
I get it. And I go back to, you can't get a little bit pregnant. And I don't know how, you know, there's a great line in The Big Chill. You remember that movie about the college chums that get back together after one of their friends killed themselves? And they talk about rationalizations. And Jeff Goldblum character says rationalizations are more important than sex. And the one guy goes, no, you're kidding me. Nothing's more important than sex. Jeff Goldblum goes, yeah, you ever went a week without a rationalization? And that's on steroids in the political world. They justify anything. The ends justify the means.
Well, I think we see that in the advertising, tearing opponents apart instead of saying what I'm about. And maybe for every commercial that says, this is what I'm about, this is what I stand for, this is what I'll do for you, there will be 10 tearing down the opponent.
And they know when they got a bad one. I mean, I am very proud to be able to say, and I'm one of a handful of people that I have met in my life, I didn't vote for George Ryan or Rod Blagojevich. And I had members of both sides of that knew what they had. That people knew what Blagojevich was. People knew what George Ryan was. And it was the hold your nose and vote thing. I didn't vote for either one of them.
Yeah. Well, you're a wise man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was mayor during Blago's administration, met him several times, and I was appalled at his lack of knowing what was even going on.
I remember, I think we were at the it was the opening of like the Blue Phoenix restaurant, Late Paul's restaurant down on the west end, and we were doing our show live there for some reason, and he came in as a guest. And the first time I met him, I mean, whenever you met him, if there were not alarm bells going off in your head, you know, I mean, he had the snakiest just sort of persona energy. I don't even know how to describe it, right? It was just, you just, like when he left, you just go, wow, what was that?
Well, I know the Herald had a picture of him leaning over talking to me at some meeting here. And the funny part, it looked like it was something really serious. And he's saying, about this Governor Oglesby mansion, where is that indicator? He was here, like, for something really important. And just like I thought, if people only knew, he wasn't really asking about, you know, jobs or anything else, which I guess was good news for the mansion.
Yeah.
So, but it, what we see many times is far different than what the public sees. And and maybe if the microphone could stay on, you know, which you wouldn't do anyway.
I know I wouldn't. We're going to break here in about 20 seconds. But I've often said if I ever write a book about my life, it'll be about what happens between the commercials, not what happens on the air.
Yeah.
Because that's oftentimes more fascinating.
Well, yeah. And I have candidates say, people say to me, you know, off the record.
Sorry, buddy. I got to break. Paul Osborne, City Hall Insider. Back with more after this.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. The fight over making the Mar-a-Lago affidavit public will be the subject of a hearing this afternoon before the judge who approved the original search warrant.
If the affidavit is released, and it's a big if, we could get a clear understanding of what exactly the feds were searching for. Newsweek is reporting, citing two high-level intel officials, quote, to justify the unprecedented raid on a former president's residence, agents went into Trump's residence on the pretext that they were seeking all government documents. But the true target was this private stash, which Justice Department officials feared Donald Trump might weaponize.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. A bomb blast at Kabul, Afghanistan mosque during evening prayers Wednesday has now killed at least 21 people, including, reports say, the imam of the mosque, 33 among those hurt. And first-time jobless claims for last week, 250,000. America's listening to Fox News.
Did you know one of the many ways the Community Foundation of Macon County supports our community is through grants? Hi, this is Rachel Moran, Director of Communications for the Community Foundation of Macon County, and I'm here to share that we are accepting applications for our Impact 100 grant from September 1st to October 1st. Each year, the Impact 100 grant supports nonprofit programs that build capacity and support individual and community well-being. This year's funding focus supports mental health, social enrichment, and engagement programming. Nonprofit organizations are encouraged to apply. The Community Foundation of Macon County and its donors are committed to strengthening our community and creating a better quality of life for all. It is through the generosity of our donors that programs like the Impact 100 grant sustain Macon County for generations to come. For more information on the Impact 100 grant, please visit our website at MaconCountyGives.org or call 217-429-3000.
Nerds.
Here at NerdWallet, we often see people wrestle with financial decisions.
Mike is in the ring, up against his nemesis, Indecision. Mike can't decide the best way to save his money, and Indecision has him boxed in. But wait, Mike tagged in NerdWallet.
Whew, let's go. With NerdWallet's side-by-side comparisons, you can find a high-yield savings account with interest rates that earn more bank for your buck. So the next time you wrestle with a financial decision, you'll come out on top. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions.
Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 63. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 84. And Saturday, showers likely, possible thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high near 84. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 63 degrees. Your WSOY time, 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Each and every weekday morning, we get the great privilege to speak to Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with the Cardinals.
You know, I hate to bring this up because somebody's going to say you're trying to jinx them, and I'm not trying to do that. But as I look at the Cardinals team right now and where they are, they could run away with this National League Central. Everything is pointing in their direction. They beat the Rockies yesterday 5-1. Jordan Montgomery, good again. This is the pitcher that they got from the Yankees. He's had three starts with St. Louis. He's had three wins with St. Louis. Yesterday, 5 2/3 inning, gave up one run, no walks, eight strikeouts. Jose Quintana, their other starting pitching acquisition, has pitched well. The two of them have pitched so well that Dakota Hudson's really been bumped out of the rotation, and they can say that they're sort of working with him on some mechanics, and he'll get to start, and he probably will. But they're reshaping. They're looking at who can help us here. And then Jack Flaherty, we talked about his rehab start. He will pitch again on Saturday. So we'll keep an eye on his progress at Springfield. So I just think, you know, look at what happened yesterday. The Brewers lost. The Cardinals' lead is now three games. And then you look at the Cardinals' schedule. Their next nine games are against teams with losing records. 33 of their final 46 are against teams with losing records. So the schedule breaks in their favor as well. And just a lot of things looking good for them. They'll play this afternoon, 12:15 against Colorado with Adam Wainwright pitching. You can listen to that game here on WSOY. And then the Bears tonight will play Seattle on the national television ESPN game, 7 o'clock. We talked yesterday about Drew Lock, who was going to start at quarterback for Seattle, being out now with COVID. It turns out this is the second time he's had it, and they said he was so sick he could barely get off the practice field the other day. So Geno Smith will start for Seattle. I don't expect him to play very long, and we'll see probably a whole lot of their number three quarterback, Jacob Eason, who's just a big kid from Washington, drafted a couple years ago. As for the Bears, Matt Eberflus said some starters will play 6 to 10 plays. Some might play 20. Be curious to see how much Justin Fields actually plays at quarterback. So that's it on the Cardinals and the Bears.
All right. We'll talk about the ever-changing landscape of college football and preview tonight's Sport Talk on the other side of the break. This look at Tupper on Sports brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, now open in downtown Decatur.
Hi, I'm Dave Kuczynski, CEO of Investment Planners and IPI Wealth Management. At IPI, integrity and ensuring significance and peace of mind are the key to the way we do business. Our clients trust us to take care of their investments, and it is our responsibility to work with business partners that will help us do just that. First National Bank is one of those partners. FNB's quality service and two Decatur branches provide us the stability we need to accomplish our mission. Thanks, FNB.
First National Bank, member FDIC.
We're back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, college football.
Well, you have to start with this truth. Among the major college players, particularly in football, there is zero confidence in the NCAA. Mark Emmert's tenure as the president of the NCAA has been so weak, and people are just, I mean, it's almost insulting the way he's viewed. They're just willing to bat him aside with the back of their hand and say, by the way, we'll do this ourselves. So 11 college presidents and chancellors who make up the board of managers for the college football playoffs met this week and discussed reshaping the way college football is governed, basically outside of the parameters of the NCAA. And we're talking mostly about the college football playoffs. It was a brief discussion they had. They mostly said, we need to be thinking about this. I think it's the first domino in what could be a long process. Nothing imminent right now, but they want changes, and they want to structure those changes. And a change would be a new college football playoff format to determine the national championship. Currently, we have four teams that are selected to be involved in that playoff. And they're talking also about any change that they're going to make being put in place before the current contract runs out after the 2025 season. There's a lot of money that's being left out on the table by not expanding this thing to 8 teams, 12 teams, 16 teams. I think 12 teams is talked about a lot. And that's an interesting proposition. Also, I read an interview with Barry Alvarez, the former Wisconsin football coach and athletic director who serves currently as the administrative assistant to Kevin Warren in the Big Ten. And he says, look, as our league expands, and we know they're adding USC and UCLA, rather than just a single Big Ten conference championship football game, maybe we have a four-team playoff, two semifinal games, and a championship game. All of this means a lot of extra games. And, you know, you could have three or four extra games in an expanded college football playoff for the national championship. Alvarez is talking about two, no longer one, but two games in a Big Ten title situation. So you could have 17 or 18 teams, games, which is a lot of inventory for a college team. You'd have to try to cram a bunch of them in during that winter semester break, and then how would you involve the bowls? So it's interesting, and I think they'll move that Big Ten championship game. It's been in Indy. I think you're definitely going to see a move to once in a while include it to be the Rose Bowl, and maybe even an East game to raise the profile there. That's a lot to talk about. We'll try to get into it tonight on Sport Talk between 5 and 6. Tim Kaine and I will be in the studio, and we hope you can join us.
All right, my friend. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight at 5. And if you're not able to join Mark and Tim live, you can always check out the podcast at nowdecatur.com. Always enjoy Sport Talk.
Oh, yeah, no question about that.
Particularly when the Illini, you know, get into football, basketball season.
Yep.
By the way, I think we got our football tickets in as part of our first mid-ticket window. We'll continue into the season, giving away tickets to see the Fighting Illini football team, and then right into basketball. Be fun. Hey, before we go to the break, I want to take a couple of seconds here to just talk about what is it that you really look for in life? Is there anything more important than consistency? I look around my house, and I'm a homebody. There's nothing that makes me happier when I can just park in front of a tablet or a TV, whether it's reading a book or watching, you know, binging The Challenge, I don't know, whatever it might be. When I can just do that relaxed time, but to have the connectivity and the reliable connection to all those devices, however you consume your entertainment, literature, whatever it might be, you want it to be there. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to worry about it. You don't want to have spotty. You want like that connection. Whether it's your watch, your smart fridge, your security system, your PC, your phone, whatever it might be. It's the most important thing in life. Reliable connection, consistency. And that's what you get with Xfinity XFi. And not only do you get more of what you love with the fastest internet, you get the protection that comes in that's built with it. Somebody standing on that wall 24/7 keeping you safe from bad actors. And there are a lot of bad actors. The difference is your mother and father didn't have to worry about bad actors coming through the smart fridge. But they're there, right inside the app, push notifications, let you know if there's a problem. Hey, we took care of this. You don't have to worry about it. Plus 24/7 customer support if you ever need it with in-home Wi-Fi support. Xfinity is available to Xfinity Internet customers with a compatible Xfinity gateway based on Xfinity's fastest available download speeds, consistency, protection, somebody who has your back. It doesn't get any better than that. We're more connected than we've ever been, and you want that reliability. It's important. It is value to the quality of your life. To get started, call 1-800-XFINITY. Visit Xfinity.com or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details. RCC turning 50. Tell you about all the stuff they have planned this semester to celebrate that. Back with more after this.
Your eye color, freckles, even your hairline are all inherited from your parents. Did you know cataracts can also be inherited? Cataracts develop gradually over time, so change in your vision may appear subtle. If you notice your vision has become cloudier, schedule a consultation at Gailey Eye Clinic. We individualize treatment plans to discover the best path to the clarity you deserve. Learn more about cataract surgery at GaileyEyeClinic.com. Focused on you.
Whether your child is learning to save, learning to budget, or learning to earn, LLCU Making Sense Youth Accounts can help through it all. They'll learn about saving, budgeting, spending, and more with fun interactive tutorials tailored for each age group from toddlers to teens. Our accounts pay dividends and pay rewards for earning A's and reading books. Stop in today or visit llcu.org to get started. It's never too early to teach healthy money habits. Land of Lincoln Credit Union. Bank on learning more. Membership is required. Federally insured by NCUA.
Illinois football will have the national spotlight on August 27th.
The Illini in the debut of Press Bielma celebrate a win.
We need you at Memorial Stadium as the Fighting Illini take on Wyoming during week zero, the opening weekend of college football. Bring your friends and family and get a four-pack of tickets for only $59. Four packs are available now at FightingIllini.com or by calling 866-ILLINI1. Hail to the Orange.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
We're back here on a Thursday. It's kind of like we're going to do what a lot of kids do here in this community. They're going to spend some time with Richland, and then they're going to go to Millikan. We're going to do that back-to-back today. 50 years they're celebrating. Right outside this window, Nick, in 1972, which is now a parking lot, but would have been part of First National Bank, the Richland's first classes, and you're going to need those headphones, sorry, started their very first classes.
Wow.
In a bank vault.
I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like famous. That's like that's the story everybody knows about Richland.
Now I do.
Okay.
I'm in on the inside.
Julie, everybody knows this, right? It was a bank vault.
I think everybody knows it. We've been showing the picture of the library in the bank vault itself. Yes. Yeah, so pretty cool.
All right. So 50 years, you've got a lot of things planned. Julie Melton is with us, the Assistant VP of Institutional Advancement. That's a You guys, the
it's
academics always get it. Like,
I know.
Laura McGinnis, the Annual Giving and Alumni Engagement Coordinator, and Tina Zindel McWilliams, the Director of Institutional and Academic Planning. A lot of words there. They're all celebrating 50 years with not their 50 years, but 50 years of Richland. And you guys have all kinds of things that are going on in and around this. I will tell you, there is a website, richland.edu/50, where you can go find all the stuff that we talk about today and more. So when did you start planning for this?
We've been planning maybe close to a year. We went all out for, and I wasn't here and Lauren wasn't here, but Tina knows this. We went all out for our 40th. So we wanted to balance the busy schedules of people's lives with doing something really fun. So I think that's what we've done here. We've put together a schedule of some sprinkled in some really great 50th events, some good social media activities. So we can celebrate and let the community know that we've been changing lives for 50 years.
Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, at the beginning it was called the Community College of Decatur and then went through several iterations before landing to your permanent home now. You were out Park 101, right, mm-hmm. For a number of years and then broke ground. And I think it would be interesting if you had professors and students from that time come back and see what it looks like today versus what it looked like then. In my mind, it still kind of looked the same, but it's not even close, right?
I think it's pretty – Tina would probably know the best, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I need the mics turned up there, Nick. Okay.
We have actually have a photo of the original footprint from the air, and to think about how much we've extended in all directions
yes.
in that one spot is just amazing.
Yeah,
just
and, amazing. You know, we think about you know just farm progress
yes.
and all that.
Yes.
You know, I would imagine if you laid that over the original, it would stun people
yes.
about how much because growth is incremental and gradual, and you don't necessarily see it, but it's amazing. I remember they had a smoking section.
Yes, and it's now our art gallery.
Yeah. And the smoking section at first was like how they used to do it, like where it was just open, but you just smoked over there, and then there was like a glass enclosure that looked like something out of an Austin Powers film. This
yes.
is how much life has changed
yes.
Dramatically over the years. So celebrating 50, you've got the website, you've got all kinds of different things that you're doing. Walk me through some of the events because the public's invited to participate in a lot of this.
Absolutely. We'd love the public to come. So we have fall and spring events. We're really kicking it off with a wellness challenge that will run in the fall and the spring. We're doing 50 ways of wellness. We really want people to pick their own way, but do it for 50 years and track that. We also have our Welcome Back Picnic. That's open to the community, staff, employees, students, you name it.
That's Saturday, September 17th.
It is September 17th. And then you talked about bringing people back to campus. We are hosting a Founders Day Gala on October 22nd. So we'll be sending invitations out for that by the end of the month, but there will be information. And then we're going to do an open house. So we want students and really the community to come on November 15th and learn more about Richland. And then in the spring, we'll do wellness again. We have our State of the College that we did that last year for the first time. We're going to be doing that April 12th. And then we'll finish up with our commencement ceremony on May 19th. The other exciting thing I didn't mention is we're doing a Richland Gives Back Day. That's going to be February 2nd and 3rd. We do an employee campaign, but if you've seen Milliken does the Big Blue Give Back Day, we're going to be doing something similar that four-year institutions do with a goal of raising, of course, $50,000.
Okay. And when raising that money, what's the best way for people to contact Richland or to have communication about maybe donor, or being a donor or participating in any of this? What's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Through the foundation website, www.richland-foundation.
Okay, and then let's go back to some of the details. This Welcome Back Picnic, it's Saturday, September 17th. From what I understand from the material here, it is from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., is that right?
That's correct.
Now, do people need to register for this stuff, sign up? I mean, how does all that work?
There's an RSVP on that website, on the 50 Years website, so definitely stop by. We're just looking for a count. If people show up.
We got to know about food and all that.
Yeah,
right?
The more the merrier. We'd love to have them.
All right, and then the Founders Day Gala, I know you said that that information will be coming out, but what are you seeing? Are we gussied up night?
It's going to be a gussied up night. We're hoping to bring back, of course, any living past presidents, board emeriti, anyone that really had a role in creating Richland over the last 50 years, the foundation board. So, of course, we're always limited on space and shilling, but we love to show off our culinary students. So that will be a ticketed event. I don't think we've determined a price point,
okay,
but we'll make it.
That information will be forthcoming.
Will, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. So how you guys just started this week, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've given away swag to students and staff. We have 50 anniversary T-shirts. So, yeah, we've started. Things will go up on the website. We have a number of social media things that are happening, Trivia Tuesday, Flashback Friday, lots of photos available, again, going through the website.
Okay, and then what's the mood on the campus? I know we still have COVID. We still have things we're dealing with, but,
I sat at our help desk on Monday morning, and people were just beaming to come back to campus. It's just, I've not felt that in a number of years.
Well, I think the interaction, the social part of it, people have, been a tough couple of years, for kids and adults. Mm-hmm. But I think, I know our guy started Monday and he came home just thrilled with his first day, which, you don't know what the, but and it's also harder to find your way around. When we talked about that footprint, right?
Yes.
It's the thing he said, he's like, man, okay, they're telling me to go here. And it's like, it's a lot bigger than I thought, just the campus itself.
Yeah, that whole one building concept, you think, oh, well, it's going to be easy to find. We have two stories and all of that.
Yeah, but you get a lot of steps in.
Yeah, that's right. I'm watching them every day.
Well, if your 50 Ways of Wellness Challenge, you might be able to put that on there. Okay, so once again, the website is richland.edu/50. If you are interested in finding out about all the different events, but put the 17th on your calendar, Saturday, September 17th, 3 to 6 p.m. They're going to have a huge picnic. They're going to take a big drone photo shoot with all of the folks that are there. And are you selling the 50th swag? I mean, where do people pick this stuff up? They want walking billboards, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you come to the picnic, of course, we want people wearing the 50th T-shirt. So we will have those T-shirts available, and we do have some swag left over. So, yeah, we'd love to share that. We're going to be doing some contests as part of our trivia. So you talk about old pictures, new pictures.
So people have, are you looking for stories and pictures and content?
We are doing a series called 50 Stories. We're going to kick that off today with Wayne Dunning, of course, who's been on the board for
50 years,
yes, for a very, very long time. And so we, and Brian, we'd love to talk to you. We are going to be highlighting stories of alumni, donors, community members, students, faculty across the entire 50 years. So
it is such an important part of our life here, for young students, for the economy, for employers, for everybody. Mm-hmm. You just impact so many people. Congratulations on 50. We'll have fun with this all year. And we can't wait to start the events. You got it on your calendar, Nick? We got a picnic to go to on the 17th.
I was just reading about it.
Huh?
I was. Really,
it's going to be fun. All right, guys. We appreciate it. Have a great day. And we're going to take a quick break. Back with more. Here's Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team Forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 63. For Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 84. And Saturday, showers likely, possible thunderstorms. After 1 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 84. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 63 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:54. And this look at your weather is brought to you by Shaner's Towing. Fast, reliable, 24-hour towing in the Decatur area. Call Shaner at 217-875-2200.
When you have car trouble and need a tow, trust Shaner's Towing. Shaner's of Decatur is your best choice for business towing solutions in central Illinois. Roadside assistance, farming, towing and recovery, auto repairs and tires and more. If you're looking for a fast and reliable partner for all auto and heavy duty needs, just visit shanerstowing.com. Trust Shaner's and save their number, 875-2200. That's 875-2200. When accidents happen, when you need a repair, trust Shaner's Towing.
Macon County CASA and Newhoff Media invite you to the third annual CASA Gatsby Gala, Saturday, October 15th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. This 1920s Gatsby party includes cocktails, cuisine, silent and live auctions, a little mystery, and a special performance by eclectic cover band Capital Sound, all supporting CASA's mission to advocate for local children who have been abused and neglected and are in need of safe, permanent homes. It's the 2022 CASA Gatsby Gala, and tickets are on sale now.
Visit MaconCountyCASA.org/events.
Hi, I'm Corky Nicholson with Hickory Point Bank. Decatur is full of hard-working business owners. From family-owned shops and restaurants to companies with hundreds of employees, local businesses are making a positive impact on our community. And we get it. We understand local businesses because we are a local business. We make our own decisions just like you. You're local, we're local, and we're all working to make our hometown an even better place. Hickory Point Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
What's the playlist today?
It is a Spotify-generated playlist that I found on Spotify, not in recently played, called 70s Rock Drive.
This was the 80s. This was like 1984.
Okay.
This is what I don't like about the streaming services. You know, they're often wrong. I know that when they were making Stranger Things, like Winona Ryder was the spell check or the music check or the fact right. check about what was 80s.
Right.
Because they would get it wrong, the two brothers who did the series.
Yep.
Because they didn't actually grow up then.
They're just looking back.
Yeah. Okay. So oftentimes something will feel like the Barracuda – by heart would be very much the 1970s, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I didn't live much during it, a couple months in the 70s.
No. First of all, I mean, it's factual. It was the 1970s.
Tom Petty's Refugee came out in 1979.
Yeah, that's not right.
On the album Damn the Torpedoes.
The Damn the Torpedoes did not come out. It may have been recorded in 1979. This is what you got to realize on these dates on albums. It was definitely the 1980s.
Released on January 1980.
Yeah. And Refugee wasn't the first hit off of the album. This is back in a day, hard to explain today to kids, but right, an album would come out and could be out for 6 months with sure. two or three songs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, you know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers had a lot of hits. So, you know, an album might be on the charts for a year.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yep. And a song or a video album might have been released in January 1980. The hit might have been like fall of 1980.
So get this. This is kind of funny. This will take you right into my timeline. So October 19th, 1979. So 1 week after I was born was the studio album, the release of Damn the Torpedoes. It came out a week after I was born. And then the following January of 1980 was the single.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. It was the second single.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
By the way. It's and there's song. A great story about how many times they recorded that song. I mean, they obsessed. Mm-hmm. They even like took the reels and flew to New York to see if it sounded different there.
Oh, wow.
Crazy stuff.
That is cool.
And that song still holds up, but it was definitely 1980s.
Sure.
All right. We will take our 2-year associate's degree
mm-hmm.
and move to the campus of Millikan University next.
My alma mater.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very transactional morning, I feel like.
It's awesome.
All right. Just happened to work out that way, but let's just say we planned it. All right. We've got to take a break for top of the hour stories and news. We'll tell you all about a big event called the State of the University coming up and how you can participate. Stay tuned.
Car, home, mobile device, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. Beginning this week, Macon County residents will start seeing deputies assigned to the patrol division wearing body-worn cameras. Body cams are used to capture interactions from the perspective of the officer. They've been used in criminal courts to show a judge or jury how an interaction developed and allow an officer to confirm statements or actions made by victims or suspects. Lockhart's Barber College, in partnership with the Painters and Glaziers Union, is providing free back-to-school haircuts for K-12 students. All week, local students are getting a free haircut done by student barbers under the supervision of instructors. For more information, visit nowdecatur.com. Unwanted electronics like TVs, video devices, gaming systems, and computer equipment will be collected from anyone who registers for an appointment for Macon County Environmental Management's collection event next Saturday.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.